I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition.
During one of my interviews about a year or so ago, I stumbled upon a term that I kind of coined on the spot, which was reverse anthropomorphism. That's a big mouthful of words and syllables in there. But it's essentially, the idea was that we are now putting technology expectations and language into human experience. Unlike, say, anthropomorphism, where we put human experience in words into animals and so forth, meaning that we expect people to be as fast as our Google searches, that we want people to perform at the same speed of their cell phones. We now have a language that defines behavior in technological terms for human beings. And in that conversation, I was very much struck by just how much technology is becoming so ubiquitous. People say that human beings are really now becoming cyborgs. When you think about the actual term of a cyborg, that our cell phones are becoming almost like an appendage to our human bodies. And so as technology continues to speed up at a remarkable pace, and where some would say that this might be the last generation where our major decisions are being made by the human versus technology, I've been, quite frankly, a bit skeptical about things that get in the way of me having relationships with other human beings, knowing that, of course, that the internet and my cell phone is an enabler of those relationships, but the real work of a relationship is between me and somebody else. So my next guest on the Business of Intuition sort of was, at first, I was a little skeptical because he's got a company that deals with bots in terms of relationship management. But the more and more I heard this guy speak about how his very transparent approach to developing relationships using bots, I began to realize that I could actually be in better position to serve my clients in a more authentic, meaningful way by the use of these technological advances. So by the time I finished my interview with this guy, I started talking to him afterwards about how our company might be able to work with his. So who is this guy? Well, his name is Robbie Gupta. And Robbie is a serial entrepreneur who has worked alongside his current founding team of 10 plus years. But throughout his career, Robbie and his team has worked on AI, recommendation engines, social platforms, and enterprise software. His first startup was a TV show recommendations plus social engagement app that had 2 million plus monthly active users at the time it got acquired. After that, Robbie took a bold step to move to Silicon Valley to start a new company. While he was there, Robbie realized the importance of relationship building using gifts, but got frustrated by lack of technological innovation in that space. So he and his team used their prior experience to come up with the idea of using AI to solve the problem. That's how EvaBot was born. Today, EvaBot serves more than 1,000 businesses, including many Fortune 50 companies. Robbie Gupta on the Business of Intuition. So Robbie, thanks for being a guest on the Business of Intuition. I know that you're really passionate about relationship building, especially with the aid of AI and technology. Why is that so important to you? And how do we use technology to really build relationships, certainly in an era where one could say that technology has kind of aided in our ability to create connection, but one would argue that technology has actually kept us further apart because we're not face-to-face as much, because the meaning of our conversation may be somewhat diluted because we're using technology to speak for us. So how can we build these authentic, meaningful relationships with the technology that you deploy?
So yeah, thanks, Dean, first of all, for having me.
You bet.
So yeah, coming back to why relationships are important to me, I'll tell you a small story of how I got into Silicon Valley and I started building my relationship. So, you know, in 2010, 2011, I did my first startup back in India. It got acquired in around 2016. And when after that, I wanted to come to Silicon Valley to build like global company. And I heard a lot about Silicon Valley. So I just wanted to come and see. When I came here for the first time, I just loved this place, energy and like so much diversity in this place. I wanted to be a part of it. And then I soon realized that the biggest challenge I'm going to face is, you know, how to build these new relationships. I actually had zero connections here. I didn't go to a college, didn't work at a company like Facebook or Amazon. So for me to start a company and then, you know, build a team and all of that, get investors, it was very, very hard. So I realized that until I solve the relationship building problem, nothing else is going to happen. So what I like, even back in India, I was not like a great, you know, relationship builder. It was like, you know, you go to college, you build naturally the relationships with your friends, you go to office, you build relationships with your colleagues. But, you know, how do you genuinely or actively start building relationships? Like, I had no clue. So I thought maybe I'll give gifts to people, right? And even back in India, I was like a very bad gifter. I didn't know what to buy and like, I'm not a good shopper, so I had no clue. And now think about it, like coming to a new country, you didn't even have cultural context, right? Like what people actually like, you know, do they like to drink? Do they like to, you know, go out? You have no clue. But I wanted to do it. So what I did, you know, I got an idea. I actually started texting people saying, so suppose we met at an event, right? And after the event, I'll take your business card and I'll text you. Saying, hey, you know, you met Robbie at this event today and he wants to send you a gift. Would you like to, I'm his assistant. Would you like to chat with me for a couple of minutes so that I can personalize the gift? And I would send that text with zero expectations, right? But I was seeing that 99% of the people were responding to the text. They would say, oh, yeah, cool. You know what it is. And then I had this opportunity to ask them questions. So I would ask all the weird questions, for example, or awkward questions like, do you like coffee, beer, or wine? How do you take your coffee? Do you like Philz more or Blue Bottle more? You know, what's your favorite, like, say, blend? What's your address? I would ask all these personal questions and they would respond. Initially, I didn't know why they are responding, but I was happy that now I have some data on this person to actually get something near his house or his office or her office, and then buy the perfect coffee and gift it to her. So I started doing that. And the biggest thing I realized during that period was people were responding to me because they thought this person who is asking me the question is actually not a person, it's a bot.
Oh, it was a bot back then?
It was not a bot, it was just
me. It was actually you, okay.
Yeah.
And you were asking questions really specifically how to customize the gift that you were going to give them.
Yeah.
There was no other ask like business or meeting
nothing.
It's just like, we met quickly. I have a gift I want to give you to thank you for your time. Let me ask you some questions
my assistant,
about
right?
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And
I'm following.
So they were giving all the answers. Initially, I was surprised. Like, I mean, I never thought they would give me all the answers. So when I gave them the gift, I would also ask, hey, what actually made you answer all my questions? And they were like, oh, was it you? I thought it's a bot or something. That's why I was so comfortable sharing all my information. And that then hit me that, okay, they are actually telling me all this information or giving me all this information because they believe that they are chatting with a bot, not with me or any other human being.
So let me ask you, before you go further, Robbie, so what does it mean that we are more apt to give information about ourselves through a bot than we would through a human being? I would almost think it would be the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And so later we figured there is a scientific experiment and like there are a lot of studies done around this. It's called hyper-personal conversation. So when humans talk to computers or machines, they are more open and they share more data. And that then became a basis for a lot of these mental health apps as well that are very successful in medical space where, you know, people are chatting with bots and sharing all the details that a doctor would like to know, but it's very hard for the doctor to actually gather that information. So then we realized that why they were giving this information was there were two reasons in our case. One is the motivation is very high, right? I'm telling you that, hey, I'm going to give you a gift. You don't know what the gift is, but based on the questions, the way you answer, I'll surprise you with a gift, which is more personalized to your taste. So first of all, I'm respecting your interest and your preferences, right? And then I'm saying that it's a, like, you are feeling that it's a bot because it's asking some standard questions. So you feel that it's a bot. Initially, it was me, but now it's actually a bot. And because of that comfort that, you know, you're more willing to share all the information. So this is the combination of like a great motivation, which is a personalized gift. And then the, you know, the comfort feeling that it's a bot, not another human being judging me, right, on my taste and preferences.
Could I just stop you for a second? So let's go back to the beginning of this story. What kind of contact would you have with a person that then would trigger the free gift, the bot in your story in the beginning? It was actually you later, your company, it sounds like, created the bot technology. But what quality of an interaction would say to you, now let's bring him to this phase of asking about what kinds of free gifts would they want?
So, yeah, I mean, so when we started, you know, your podcast is about intuition, right? So we had some intuition. We were like, okay, you know, people might love coffee, beer, or wine. These are simple things to get, but this has enough diversity within themselves to ask for specific questions. For example, people drink coffee in 30, 40 different ways, right? We don't like, if I want to give you your perfect coffee, I need to know what kind of beans you like. Do you take it with milk or not, right? So initially it was just about that. Okay,
it's actually further than that. That's why I wanted to get clear about, like, would I need to meet you face to face in order for me then to say, hey, I just met Robbie. I'm going to now put him into this spreadsheet, this program that will start the process of asking him questions. Or I saw your email and your phone number on a list that I purchased. Would I still do that same process? Like, what connotes the quality of the lead that would push you into this process?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I mean, first of all, we always believe in doing this with someone who is at least, you have done one touch point with them, right?
Like, okay, so it's somewhat of a warm lead or a lukewarm lead.
Yeah, so
okay,
gift is a gift, right? You don't want to use it as a spam, right? Like,
right.
And that was very important to us, you know, when we started that, okay, I have met you, you have the context, and that is why you are clicking the link.
Okay, so then there's also, when you say click the link, does that mean that the other person is sort of giving you permission to continue?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So now I'm getting it. It's an interesting concept. I get that. So tell us the rest of the story and how these free gifts are a way to build relationships, because it's still fairly transactional.
Yep. Correct. So first step is, you know, getting to know the other person, right? And when you are a business, you want to do it in a standard way, in a scalable way, right? So the bot gives you the ability, because it is powered by AI, so it can ask different questions. It can do a lot of other things. But when we started, we were asking very simple, direct questions about the gifts. And then we started pushing the bot to collect more data. For example, you know, I want to know your birthday, so that my client can then either send you a birthday gift or send you a note on your birthday, right? Mm. And then we started further pushing, hey, what's your favorite sports team? You know, what music you like? What is your favorite, you know, restaurant, like, or say cuisine, right? Like, so you like Mexican or you like this or that. Now, when you start collecting this much information, it starts generating touch points, right? So end of the day, a relationship, what is a relationship building? It's all about, you know, at least 5 or 6 touch points before you have a mid or strong level relationship with other person. And for each touch point, you need context. Otherwise, people just keep sending very standard emails, you know, hey, renewal is coming up, let's chat. And then then your client is like, I don't want to renew, I don't want to chat, right? Mm-hmm. But what we are telling people is, you know, when you are sending that first gift, say when a customer is warm lead or onboarded, or your employee is onboarded, you send them their first gift, at that point, EVA is actually getting to know them. And then based on that knowledge, EVA will create further touch points for you. right?
Okay.
And then those touch points will give you the ability to build a stronger connection in the future.
But the touch points and the communication via the bot to the employee, warm lead, customer, what have you, isn't always focused on the customization of an upcoming gift. Am I correct? That's just one thing that you might do. There's many other ways to develop the relationship other than here's a pound of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, we always create a very unique experience, even with the gift. And the gift is, we always say that you should always send the gift and in the process, collect the data. Never collect the data and then think about sending a gift. You have to send a gift because there is a relationship that is happening at the very beginning, right? You're giving something and then you're expecting something in return. So it always starts with a gift that is very personalized. And the gift is never just one product. It will come with a combination of 3-4. So even if you're giving, say, 10 to 20 data points to the bot will take care of at least 3 to 5 data points to send you the gift. It will not just send one thing. It will send 3 or 4 things combined in a box. So that is one. And then, of course, you know, the other points that we collect, you know, will help us with future, you know, connections. For example, now it's 3 months, I want to touch base with you. I can actually see that, oh, you love coffee and there's a nice new coffee place open near your house. Let me actually send you a coffee through Uber Eats, right? Hmm. Now you get all this ability to create further very personalized touch points at scale.
And this all can be generated out of a CRM, a customer relationship management program, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
And then it gets funneled through a Zapier or a Zap, which is an automated, basically, app that helps connect different programs through things like text messaging or email, I'm gathering, right?
Yeah.
All right. This is a really interesting model. I'm curious about this. So then the gifts, you don't necessarily manufacture, produce those. These are things that you must have relationships with other gift providers that you created a B2B relationship with. Am I correct?
Yeah. So we work with all these amazing products like direct-to-consumer brands, mom and pop stores, and we tell them that, hey, with us, we can actually guarantee you volume because we are the only gifting company in the world where neither the sender nor the recipient is picking the gift. The AI is picking the gift. So what is happening is sender is just giving us the budget, right? And the recipient is just telling us their preferences. Now, in between, the AI can do a lot, right? Based on the budget, based on what discounts we get from these vendors or these mom and pop stores, we can just put in 3 or 4 products that will match the retail price and their preferences.
And I'm assuming the budget can be fluctuated based on the quality of that particular contact.
Exactly.
Got a client already. We already love them. They are high ticket, big whale. Yeah. We have a budget of $1,000, right? And versus somebody we just met at a conference, maybe our budget's $15.
And that's another magical thing about it, right? When Eva is chatting with the person, Eva is not discriminating. It's collecting similar information from all the people. But then based on the budget, the gift they receive will be different.
This is fascinating. So, all right. So what's the percentage of people that actually engage with the bot versus it looks like spam to me. I don't really know who this Dean is or this Robbie is. I'm just going to let it go and delete him and, you know, ask not to be on his list. What's your success rate?
So there are 2 points here. One is, of course, when you send a gift to, say, your customers or your employees, right? It depends on how warm your connection is, right? So if you are sending it to your existing customers or your employees, then the acceptance rate itself, which is like clicking the link and accepting the gift, is 98%, 99%. But when you're sending to warmer leads or say, you know, cold leads, then of course it
drops. Fair enough.
The second thing is how many people actually do the full chat once they have clicked the link, right? So once you click the link, that means you trust the email, you have clicked the link. Now you are going through a conversation, which is roughly 3 to 4 minutes long. So there we have, again, like almost 99% chat completion rate. So whoever starts, because it's designed in a way that it kind of draws you in, and that the big motivation of getting a personalized gift like makes people fill the full chat.
All right. This is partly of interest for me too in our company, because I'm thinking not only in terms of the listeners and what they might find of interest, but also you know, selfishly, I'm going like, this could be useful. How do you administer this? Like, do you need are you kind of like soup to nuts? You know, we'll take it from here. We'll build it out. You just give us the parameters, or do you almost like need a project manager on the company side to be able to work with your company to be able to make this whole thing work? Certainly from a CRM perspective, we're going to need, That's going to be already there. You're already going to have a marketing person or a salesperson managing CRMs anyway.
Yep. So first of all, it's very easy. Even if you don't have any CRM, even through our dashboard, it's just one click. You just need the name and the email or mobile number of the user. Even if you don't have anything, you can create a universal link that you can share with anyone you want. Now, coming back to CRMs, of course, we are on Salesforce. We are also on Zapier. So you can connect any CRM and you can workflows. Once you create a workflow, then it's fully automated. You don't need to even come back to the dashboard to do anything. And you can do this while sending gifts in your own branded boxes with a handwritten note that is, again, can be generated through an AI. Our personalized notes are pretty amazing, by the way. It can actually connect the dots between who you are and why you are getting this gift. So AI will write a very personal note saying, oh, it's snowing in New York. I thought this coffee would warm your day up. Things like that. Like, it can actually...
Do people at some point know, Robbie, that we're communicating with a bot, or do we sometimes think that we're actually communicating with a live human being?
No. This is very clear from...
There's no bones about it.
Right? It's a bot,
So here's my philosophic question. And I guess this is like, all right, you started off this interview with saying it's really important to develop relationships. You talked about coming to Silicon Valley, wanting to meet people, but you didn't know anybody. Are these people really developing relationships with you, or are they developing relationships with AI? Who's the protagonist here, man? Are we really just having this surrogate bot being our surrogate of ourselves, right? Are we really the ones who are, or is it, or does it just simply, could we say that this process isn't going to be the be all and end all? We still need to work with, talk to, interact with, sit down with, break bread, whatever, with people. But this is a part of a larger strategy to be able to develop relationships. I guess I'm feeding you a softball here to hit over the plate, but is that how you see it?
So, yeah. And the way we see it is also the response of 125,000 plus people who have received gifts through us, right? So we see their responses because they are chatting with Eva. They're also sometimes leaving a testimonial or a review within chat itself, right? Hmm. So we know what happens is humans are very unique. I mean, we chat with a bot and we are willing to share all the data. But when we respond to the bot, we always say, hey, Dean, thank you for being so thoughtful to use this thing to be able to send me a very personalized gift, right?
Even though they know that what the testimonial or the comment is going through a bot.
It's going through a bot, yeah. People still feel that the person who is sending the gift is more thoughtful because they are using
it. So you're getting the benefit.
You respect my preferences, my privacy, all of that.
I get that. I can see that. And so then, of course, I'm going to throw this out there, but if you have a CRM or whatever process you have, when it comes time for the human being to talk to the human being, that data that was collected by the bot over a period of several different interactions could be easily readily available and go, oh, I'm talking to Robbie. Based on my bot data, he loves coffee, but he doesn't want too much sugar. He loves the Minnesota Vikings, but he hates the Twins. You know, we can get a whole composite based on the bots collecting all this data so that I come into that conversation armed and ready to really target my product, my service to that particular person's needs and styles and lifestyle.
Exactly. And that's what we see like people using us for, because once you collect this information is in your CRM, and you go and you see, oh, you're a fan of Golden State Warriors. Congratulations on their, win this year You can do all of that, like, which is very hard otherwise to do, right?
Rob, this is really great. So are there a lot of other companies that are doing this as well, exactly like the way you are, or are you sort of a pioneer? I just don't know enough about this space.
So this space is all about, like, if you call it a corporate gifting space, then of course there are many players who do swag and stuff, right? Where you tell them what you want to send. and they'll help you facilitate, right? Or there's a marketplace. Either you decide what you want to send or the recipient picks a gift. Now, none of this is a gifting experience per se, right? Like it's either, oh, I'm just throwing my swag to you. You take it if you want it. Or it's more like, oh, I'm giving some money to you. Just shop for yourself, right? What we are doing is very different. And as far as we know, no one does it like this. And we have perfected this over a period of like past 4 years, which is, you know, you are actually, you know, creating the balance, like the right gift is a surprise, right? Like, so that for the recipient, they'll never pick a gift. So many people have asked us, hey, will you allow the recipient at the end to pick the gift? No, like that, where's the surprise then? I already know the person well enough.
It's now, the grab bag. Yeah.
Right? Just to send the gift, which is a surprise, because a real gift is always a surprise. But then you open the box and you're like, oh, I always wanted this, but I didn't know that something like
that's
this.
That's what I was going to get. Right?
Yeah. And so that is where we are going. And so it creates that fine balance, you know, and keeps the surprise.
You know, I normally don't spend this amount of time on a company like this because I want to make my listeners have something more broad based in terms of leadership or culture, what have you. But this is really fascinating. I think you're really onto something. Where do you see in the future with this particular technology, specifically with humans connecting to humans? What's your prognosis, doctor, as you look ahead 10 years, as AI becomes more and more predominant in our lives? Are we going to see the human interaction beginning to decrease more, stay the same? You know, what's your sense? I mean, if you were to do a white paper, a TED talk about the future of this in 10 years, what would you be talking about?
Yeah, so 10 years is still a long time. I mean,
huge.
AI is growing so fast. I'll give you like 2 to 3 years outline, right? And based on what we currently have and what we are building. So, you know, one thing is the AI is getting so good at writing emails, you know, writing copy. You must have seen GPT-3, right? Like it can write better than any writer. You just give it context, right?
Yeah.
One is this whole piece of writing emails, communicating, right? All of that. The other piece is the data itself, which is because the world is going more and more digital, especially after COVID, you know, even your employees are not, you know, meeting face to face anymore. Because of that, what is happening is, you know, more and more connections are getting built, but they are not deeply, they are not personal anymore, right? It's all like, okay, business connection, that's it, right? Okay, you work in the same company, that's it, but you don't know the other person. And what I believe AI will be able to do that we are also trying is, you know, now take some of the inefficiencies from this, right? Like from the world going digital and try to create or solve those problems. For example, can I help one person in the company know all about other persons like through AI? And if I'm able to do that, then people will be like, everyone wants to be more thoughtful, right? I want to be more thoughtful. I want to be able to give someone great gifts and great things and great treats, but it's humanly impossible for people to do that. And as the world goes more remote, it will get harder and harder. So what I believe is AI will be able to kind of give you all the tools that you need to be more thoughtful. And I'll give you one example that, you know, very simple example. There was a shooting recently in Highland Park in Illinois, right? If I tell you that, hey, you have 10 customers living in that area, wouldn't you want to send them an email asking if they're doing well or not? You would say, yes, of course. But the challenge is no one did, because no one actually told them, hey, you should do this. And you have these 10 customers living in this area, right? Mm. Or you have these 5 employees living in this area. Now, if I tell you that, hey, don't you want to be more thoughtful and ask your employees and customers this question? And you'll be like, yeah, I want to. But then how do you do that?
But it's not brought into your attention and you don't have something reminding you to do that. So it sounds like what you're saying is not only do you have this process around giving gifts, but it's also around flagging or bookmarking or reminding you. You've got 5 people in this particular area, a national news item just happened. You probably want to send them an email or a text. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Fascinating. Yep. It's really, and it is this particular business of yours, Robbie, what's the sweet spot type size of company that you find best works in this space?
So again, like we wanted to be able to create a solution that helps everyone, like any professional. And that is why we started with small, medium businesses where we know that realtors and mortgages, they are sending closing gifts, which are very bad. So just start there, right? Like we started with real estate and then we went into mortgages. And then we saw a lot of other companies like Cigna, Microsoft, pretty large companies. Teams within these organizations also started using us because they received a gift from someone. So there's a bit of virality in the product because once you receive a gift, you're like, I've never seen this before. I want to do this for my customers. Yep. So it started growing like that. Today, like the larger use cases, which is like, how do you actually use the data to build deeper relationships? That is more useful for large companies. Smaller people, like smaller organizations are still like very tactical that, hey, I only want to solve for closing gifts. I only want to solve for this.
Right.
Larger organizations there, you want to actually show them the larger use case of building relationships. So we are moving more and more towards that point, but we are not stopping the product-led growth, which is if you want to start it today, you can. There's like no one stopping you. There's no demo for you if you want to do that.
So here's a question.
No sales demo.
Okay. There's a question I wonder if people have that I have. So we've got our own branded gifts, many different types, right? New customer comes on, we send them a box. It's a depending upon the company and so forth size, we send them some stuff. It's a thank you and a personal note. They seem to like it a lot. And it's, of course, it's branded. It's got our stuff all over it, right? Can that work in your system where you've already got your predetermined branded work, or do you have relationships with companies where you could brand your logo onto these gifts, for example?
Yeah. So we don't do the logos on the gifts that we have. But what we do is there are certain brands that do allow you to put logo on them, and you can do that.
Depends on the company.
But once you do that, because we warehouse everything, we do the full stack solution. So you can ship your stuff to us and we'll add it in the gift box. So suppose...
I see.
Yeah. So then 3 or 4 products can be matching the taste of the person, and then there can be 1 or 2 branded items as well. And then the box in itself can be branded.
Okay, very good. Robbie, fascinating work, man. How big are you right now in number of employees and locations and that kind of thing?
So we ship from the US and we have a warehouse in India. So we ship from these two countries all over.
Okay.
But 99% of our customers are in the US. We are 60 people team now. We just opened a new warehouse in Texas, Dallas. So, and we recently raised our Series A in February. So yeah, you know, growing team, growing clients.
A lot of fun. And this is your brainchild?
Yeah, this is me and 3 other co-founders with me.
Very good. Excellent. Well, congratulations, my friend. This is a really interesting business you've got here. I think you're onto something. How can people connect to you, Robbie, and your work?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Robbie Gupta, and also on Twitter. So Twitter.
And your company address is evabot.com.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, very good. Well, Robbie, I wish you the best of luck. This has just been a fascinating, unexpected delight for my Friday afternoon. And I wish you all the best, and I hope we connect again in the future.
Yeah, same here. And to start building this relationship, after this call, I'm going to send you the gift link.
Sounds good.
You can experience the whole thing yourself, and then you can come back to me and tell me how good the experience was.
Excellent. You got it, man. You got it.
Thanks, Dean.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.